Praise the Lord. Well, last night we were very impressed about the Lord is coming, right? Actually, the whole weekend there is this matter of the Lord's coming. And it's not just that He's just coming, it's that He's coming very soon. Amen. And that shows us that there is an urgency on our side. On the one hand, the Lord is long-suffering toward us, waiting that we would turn to Him, that we would repent, so that when He comes, He can receive us, and there would be no problem between us and God. So that is a very practical way for us to be ready, and that is to keep short accounts with the Lord, right? And that is we need to confess our sins, right? Whenever our conscience is witnessing that something is wrong, we need to tell the Lord, Lord, I am sorry. Forgive me. Amen. And immediately, the blood of Jesus cleanses you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
This is wonderful. So in this way, that's one way that we can get prepared. Okay, is there a little feedback?
No.
No. Okay. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so last night, the message was the grace of God training us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts, to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. This morning we come to message number 5, and that is developing a direct, first-hand relationship with the Lord by practicing personal fellowship with Him. And I hope everybody has the outline. Is that correct? Okay. You need one? Yeah, in the back. Okay, so as we look to the Lord this morning, there has been a development in our being together from Thursday night. We very impressed that the Lord is coming.
Yes.
And this is a fact that that the human race must face.
Amen.
Right? The Scripture repeatedly tells us that the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
The Scripture.
Amen.
The Bible.
Amen.
The Word of God tells us that the Lord is coming back.
Amen.
And it tells it to us repeatedly.
Amen.
That means over and over again the Lord says, I am coming.
Amen.
I am coming again.
Amen.
I will come with a reward.
Amen.
I will come as a thief.
Amen.
I am coming quickly.
Amen.
I am coming.
Amen.
Get ready.
Amen.
You know, when the Lord says, I am coming, His heart is that we would be ready. So that's why He tells us repeatedly. So as believers, we have to face this fact. But not only we believers, the whole human race has to face the fact that the Lord Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So what are we doing here this weekend? Not only are we expecting His return, we're hastening His return.
Amen.
We want Him. We want this weekend to be a factor that changes the Lord's schedule.
Amen.
I mean, we're very important people. I'm serious. Your cooperation will change the Lord's schedule.
Amen.
If you cooperate with the Lord, if you give yourself to go meet Him halfway, because you love Him, you love His appearing, He will come sooner rather than later.
Right.
Oh my goodness. Look at each other and then realize you may be a factor on the Lord's coming sooner than later.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, we are at the, we are at the brink of the change of the age.
Wow.
And you are a factor for this to happen.
Amen.
So it depends on our cooperation. So as we have gone, we realize that there are many things that Satan does to try to occupy us, to destroy us, and even to make us of none effect for God's purpose. Even though we have received God, there is an enemy of God that wants to do a job on us. And he uses all kinds of things in the world to what? To distract us, to fill us with, to occupy us, and to take our sight away and our focus away from our dear, loving Lord Jesus. So We need to love the Lord, and we need to hate Satan.
Amen.
We do. That has to be within us, a feeling that we just don't like this being. Do you like him? I don't. But sometimes, what do? We present our members as weapons of unrighteousness to sin. So we find ourselves actually worshiping Satan by presenting our eyes, our ears, our members to sin. Right? Very many of us were touched last night when our brother was sharing. Right? We do this. We present our members who are what? We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And then what happens is we get befuddled, we get stupefied, and we end up doing what dishonors us and what grieves the Lord. Right? So I hope, you know, Brother Dennis last night encouraged us, before you go to bed, all the things that the Lord touched you,
amen,
bring them to the Lord in your prayer and confess to the Lord. Lord, I presented my eyes to this thing. I did this, and I defiled myself. I dishonor you, and I hurt you. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me. Right? But we can also present our members, you know, our eyes, our ears, our bodies, to God.
Amen.
And to sanctification.
Amen.
As members of righteousness, as weapons of righteousness, rather than weapons of unrighteousness. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The choice is yours.
Amen.
Where will you, to whom will you present yourselves? So I'm so glad so many of you are here this weekend.
Amen.
Your bodies are here.
Amen.
You presented your bodies. Praise the Lord. And because you presented your bodies, your soul is here and your spirit is here.
Amen.
And you have the possibility of getting filled in spirit.
Amen.
Right? Like this morning, right? We were pray reading the verses in the morning revival. Why did we do that? On the one hand, we want to touch the word of God with our spirit and get filled with God. That's what we were doing here.
Right.
We're getting revived. Right? Because we got up in the morning, after a whole night, maybe half a night, right? And then you get up and you're just groggy. So the Bible tells us, awake, sleeper.
Amen.
Right, Wesley? Awake, sleeper.
Amen.
From among the dead, and Christ will shine on you.
Amen.
Did Christ shine on you this morning?
Amen.
He shined on me while I was sitting there, right? Exercising my spirit. The more I exercise, the more shining.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the shining. Okay, then we saw that we need companions. We need others to run with. We need others that can stand with us. We need others that could help us resist the temptation of Satan and preserve our lives, both spiritually and literally, physically. Right? We need companions. You need to look to the Lord. Lord, who will be my companion? Lord, give me a sister. Give me two sisters. Lord, give me two brothers, right, that I could pray with, that I could have morning revival with,
amen,
that I could preach the gospel with. How many of you would like your friends to get saved?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You need companions,
amen,
so that you can pray for your friends with your companion.
Amen.
Right? You have to make a list, right? Maybe two or three or five. Maybe some of you have 50 friends. Maybe you make a list. Lord, before I leave this high school, before I leave this junior high school, I want to see all my friends saved.
Amen.
How about that? That will change the Lord's schedule. Wow.
Amen.
That will change the Lord's schedule.
Amen.
You pray with others that the others get saved. You invite them to come to your home meeting. You invite them to come to the gospel meeting. Something will happen. And you can turn your school upside down.
Amen.
Right in Acts 17, he says, these men who have upset the world have come here also.
Amen.
When you go to school, you need to upset the school.
Amen.
Not by being disruptive, not by being, you know, mischievous, but by what? By being filled with God.
Amen.
You know why it gets disrupted? Because Satan gets mad. Make Satan mad.
Amen.
Don't please him. Please the Lord.
Amen.
Seek to be well pleasing to him.
Amen.
Right? Who do you want to please?
Lord.
Good. Get a companion. Get two companions.
Amen.
Get three companions.
Amen.
And pray for your friends.
Okay,
I know some of you, you're here, but maybe your parents are not saved. Who is helping you to pray for your parents?
Yes.
I know you're burdened. Lord, I'm here. I'm loving you. I want you to come back. But Lord, I want my daddy and my mom to be with me.
Amen.
Save them.
Amen.
Okay, the Lord may hear that prayer. But when two pray,
right,
you chase 10,000.
Amen.
Right? The Bible tells us one will chase 1,000. Two will chase 10,000.
Amen.
You need to pray with others. Right? Some of you, right? You have professors, maybe teachers. They are there, you know, sometimes... You know, sometimes you're in class and you realize this person is not saved, but that person is close to getting saved because some of the things that come out of their mouths when they are teaching to you. You know what they need? They need your prayer.
Right.
Lord, save my teacher.
Amen.
Use me to preach the gospel to her or to him. Why not? If you don't do it, who's going to do it? I know some young people, they preach the gospel to their teachers. And they got into the church life because of the... Isn't that wonderful? Anyway, we need companions. But also, we saw that the grace of God has appeared. And the grace of God is training us that we should deny ungodliness and worldly lust. And would live in a holy manner of life. And yesterday, it was very, very sweet when we came back to our hospitality. We were fellowshipping about this matter. And the brother mentioned training works when we present ourselves willingly to the training.
Yes.
You know, grace, who is the Lord Jesus, as we enjoy him, trains us. The training is going on. But if we don't do it willingly, it's just some kind of, seems like a discipline rather than a training. You know, in the military. So he gave the example of the military, right? In order to be trained in the military, you give yourself and you get the benefit. But if you just put there, you may not enjoy so much. It's not an enjoyable experience, right? It's like eating, right? It's like, I like to eat, but I don't like to eat broccoli, right? So I enjoy eating, right? I can enjoy eating maybe fried rice and chicken or something. But I enjoy eating fried rice and chicken, but I just eat broccoli. You see what I mean? Both are eating. One is enjoyable, one is not so enjoyable. Right? In the same principle. Right? We need to enjoy the Lord.
Amen.
Remember last night, we were coming back all the time. Right? Every point was, what do we need to do? Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Enjoy the Lord. Let's say it together. Enjoy the Lord. Okay, now let's change it. Enjoy grace. Enjoy grace. Now let's change it. Be trained by grace. Wow. So we enjoy and we're trained by grace, and then something in our being happens that we really are empowered by the grace to say no to sin, say no to Satan, and say no to the world. Why? Because we're filled with grace. Grace and reality came through Jesus Christ. When you are filled with Jesus Christ, you're filled with grace. When you're filled with grace, you're filled with the power to say no to Satan and yes to God.
Amen.
How many of you want to say yes to God?
Amen.
I do. So what does that mean? I need to be filled with God. I need to present myself so I can be filled. Right? You know, I shared with some of the young people the other day. You know, sometimes we have this thought that in the morning, we know we woke up and we're not revived. So we need to be revived. So we go to the gas station, right? And get pumped with gas, you know, from the heavens. And then we take the pump off from the gas. And we leave the pump there. And then we just go. You know, 5 o'clock, no more gas. But actually, it shouldn't be like that. We're connected to the pump.
Amen.
Don't leave the pump at home.
Right.
Get filled, but take the pump with you.
Amen.
You see, sometimes... Sometimes you see You see pictures, you know, sometimes people forget to take the, what do you call that, the handle, the dispenser of gas. They put it into the nozzle, right? They put it in there, and they forget to take it off, and then they take off, and then they, of course, an accident happens. This happens. Okay, when you do that in the morning, it, you know, the pump doesn't, there is no accident. Actually, that's what should happen. You should be connected with the pump all day.
Amen.
Hallelujah for the pump.
Amen.
The heavenly pump all the time. He wants to fill us daily, continually. So that what? So that we will be empowered during our day. So we'll talk this morning about something very, very, very practical, which is our schedule. So then we come to message number 5. Let's read the title together. Developing a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord by practicing the personal fellowship with Him. Brothers, one, all need to develop a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord. Okay, I believe when the brothers put together this outline, we had in mind the experience of two particular people in the Old Testament. I wanted to write their names down. Abraham and Lot. Abraham had a first-hand relationship with the Lord. But Lot did not. So Abraham did have a first-hand relationship with the Lord. In Acts chapter 7, it tells us that the God of glory appeared to Abraham while they were in Ur of the Chaldees. Right? And there was Abraham. He was worshiping other gods according to Joshua. And his whole family worshiped other gods. And while he was worshiping other gods, listen to this. The God of glory appeared to Abraham.
Amen.
And all of you, I believe, who are here, the God of glory at one point appeared to you. If you are regenerated, if the life of God is in you, you, one day, the God of glory appeared to you.
Amen.
And not only did the God of glory appear to you, the God of glory got into you.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for this. Okay, so then, the God of glory told Abraham to get himself out of this land and go to a land that I will show you. Right? To, you know, leave everything behind and then go. But then Abraham, you know, he did not listen to God at that time. He heard it, but he did not do according to God's word. So Abraham's father, right, he took the lead. Actually, it says Terah took his family and he went to a land called Haran. And Lot was the son of Haran, and Haran died. So when Abraham's father Terah took the whole family to Haran, one of those people were there was Lot. But eventually, Terah died. That's Abraham's father died, and then now Abraham was called again by God, and then he took the lead. But he brought along his nephew Lot. Okay, you can call Lot, you know what a tag-along is? Right? It's like, I am, you know, it's like, for example, what's your name? John, stand up, John. Okay, so John, let's say you tell me, let's say, I'm from Newington, Connecticut. Let's say we're both from Newington. And then John comes and tells me, hey, I'm going to New York.
Going to New York.
Oh, can I go with you? Come on, let's go. I just tag along. He's going to New York. He knows where he's going, but I don't. I just follow him. You see? Okay. That was Lot. The Lord appeared to Abraham. He told him, you come and follow me. And basically what happened was, Lot just tagged along. Okay? Brothers and sisters, we don't want you to be a Lot. We want you to be an Abraham.
Amen.
We want you to follow the God of glory. We want you to have a first-hand relationship with God. So we need to develop a personal touch with God. A personal. Let's see what the... Here. We all need to develop a direct, first-hand relationship with the Lord. So eventually, if you follow the story of Lot and Abraham, it came to the point that both of them had a lot of cattle, and their shepherds were fighting against each other because, you know, they had too much land. And so Abraham, he just came to Lot and he told him, he said, okay, so that we don't have problems amongst our kinfolk here, our people, okay, just choose part of the land. And if you go to the right, I will go to the left. And if you go to the left, I will go to the right, so we don't have any more problems. But remember, God appeared to Abraham. God was appearing to Abraham continually, leading Abraham where to go. And here is Lot with him, and he's, okay, so, because they had a lot of things, then Abraham proposed this. And then Lot looked, and he said, look to the toward the plain of the Jordan, toward Sodom. And then he saw that that land was a fertile land that was watered, and it was green. So you know what he did? He chose that land. I said, okay, you go that way then. Okay, then eventually when you read the Bible, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Eventually, he ended up in Sodom. Sodom is an aspect of the world that is the sinful world. He ended up pitching his tent towards there, and eventually, he ended up there. Okay, brothers and sisters, what should have Lot said or done? He should have said, I don't care about my cattle. I don't care about, you know, I want to follow you. Amen. Why? Because Abraham had the continual appearing of God. I believe if Lot had remained with Abraham, eventually God would appear to Lot. Amen. Right? Amen. So some of you may be here because your parents come here. Right? This is your parents' church. So you come here. But, you know, what? Isn't that your parents' church? Okay, so you come here because your parents say, you know, you go to the meetings, this and that. But one day, you have to make a choice. You have to look to the Lord. Lord, I want to follow you. Amen. I want you to be my God. Amen. We will read something today about Daniel. You know, God in the book of Daniel, you know what God in the book of Daniel is called? Do you know, boss? It's called the God of Daniel. The God of Daniel. Is your God the God of Boaz? Yes? Yes? Yes! Amen. Right? Okay. So we need to develop a direct, first-hand relationship with the Lord. And then in Hebrews chapter 8, it tells us that the Lord will make a covenant with us. And part of that covenant is that we will all know Him. From where? From the oldest to the youngest. That's God's promise, that we will all know Him. Okay? It says here in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 11, it says, and they shall by no means each teach his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all will know me, from the little one to the great one among them. Amen. Part of God's promise to you is that you will know Him.
Amen.
Okay, there are two words in the Greek for knowing. Okay, the first one is, it says, and all will know me. It says here, and they shall by no means teach his fellow citizen and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. It's, for example, I'm telling you, young people, you need to know the Lord. But what they were saying was, know the Lord in an outward way. Know about Him. But then the Bible tells us, they will not, it says, for all will know me. For all will know me inwardly, intrinsically, deeply, personally. Part of God's covenant with you is that you will know Him deeply, intrinsically, personally. Not in an outward way. Oh yeah, God. Yeah, He died for me. He died for my sins. Yeah, I believe. No, you know Him. You spend time with Him. You know His heart. You know He wants to come. You're cooperating with Him. He is the God of Luba.
Amen.
Right? He's the God of Sean. He's the God of Eva.
Amen.
Right? He's not just God. He is your personal God.
Amen.
When you share with others about God, they should have the realization, man, their God is real to them. Their God is very real. Right? Is your God real to you? Good. So I hope when you share with others about God, others would have the impression, I want to know her God. Her God is a good, it's not bad. You know, Christians say this since a lot. Says, my God is an awesome God. Sometimes I doubt, do they really know God when they say this? Awesome mean you are in awe in the presence of God. Not because you got some kind of high because you got sang this song. You know what I mean? Sometimes people get into this emotional high about God. And they say, oh yeah, my God is an awesome God. But you need to meet your awesome God in the morning at 6:30 when you get up on Monday morning. Amen. And you get revived and you say, I'm awake. I'm alive.
Amen.
And then you realize, my God is an awesome God. I was dead a few minutes ago. I wanted to do nothing with God. But I opened my heart and He revived me.
Amen.
He's awesome.
Amen.
I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Amen.
Then when you go to class, then you will be a happy person. And they said, what's wrong with you? It's Monday. I said, my God is awesome. Let me tell you about Him. I talked to Him this morning. My God talked to me this morning. It's like, what? It's true. Did He talk to you this morning? Isn't He awesome? We need to know Him personally, directly, in an intimate way. That's what we need to develop, this kind of relationship with Him. Okay, so we go on here. And then in Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 says, let Him kiss me with the kisses of His mouth, for your love is better than wine. Your anointing oils have a pleasant fragrance. Your name is like ointment poured forth. Therefore, the virgins love you. Verse 4, draw me. We will run after you.
Amen.
Draw me.
Amen.
We will run after you.
Amen.
Draw me. We will run after you. What's your name?
Kevin.
Kevin, stand up, Kevin. Kevin. Okay, Kevin is the Lord. Okay, you're there. You're here in the, at the aisle here, okay? Okay, and then here, we three brothers here. Come on. We four brothers. Okay. Okay, we are companions.
Amen.
We love the Lord.
Amen.
We're praying for one another. We're having troubles, we get temptations, but we stand with one another and we pray for one another.
Amen.
And one starts going away, and we all go back after Him. Hey, where are you going? Come on. Praise the Lord. Okay, and that is the Lord. He's attracting us. Actually, He's attracting me. He's attracting me. Oh, just call me, call me, call me.
Juan.
Okay. No, it's Juan.
Juan.
You see? He what? He's attracting me. He's drawing me. But as He's drawing me, they're coming back with me. They're coming with me. My friends are coming with me to meet my God.
Amen.
So that He can become their God.
Amen.
Let's go back. Let's go back with our beloved. Right? Brothers and sisters, this should be our experience. We're following the Lord. We're loving Him. We're loving Him. We're pursuing Him. Then others get attracted by our pursuing. They don't see the Lord. They can't see Him. But they see you running after Him. And they want to ask you, man, I want what you have. That's my experience. I walked in a meeting at Central Connecticut State University. I was 21 years old. And there were people loving Jesus.
Amen.
And all I could say at that time is, Lord, I want what they have.
Amen.
I knew I didn't have what they had. So my prayer was, Lord, I want what they have. That was it. And He kept attracting me, attracting me, attracting me. And others came. Praise the Lord. My wife came.
Amen.
Right? I told her, you better go upstairs. See those people up there. Right? Anyway, we got attracted. Kept following Him. Right? We need to run after Him. Okay. Point two together. We develop such a direct, first-hand relationship with the Lord.
By spending time with Him.
Amen. A. Amen. Psalm 119:64 says, "Your loving kindness, O Jehovah, fills the earth. Teach me your statutes." Okay. Then, in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, I'll read it to you. It says, "Now when Daniel came to know that the writing had been signed, he went to his house in his upper room. He had windows open toward Jerusalem. And three times daily, he knelt on his knees and prayed and gave thanks before his God, because he had always done so previously." So what is the context here? Here is Darius, he's king of the Medes and the Persians. And Daniel is a high executive in the government. He's a high-ranking person in Darius's government. And there are people that work with Daniel. And the king's heart, listen to this. What Darius wants to do is he wants to set Daniel over his whole kingdom. He is a captive from the Jews. And he's here in Babylon, and the king of Medo-Persia now, he wants to set him over his whole kingdom. So you know what happened when you, well, probably in the drama of high school, you have this too, right? This is the drama of the human life. It's called power struggle. Right? People want to, you know, they want to have power over you. They want to, get a good position. Want to have position over you. So what happened is, there were some there that didn't want Daniel to get the job. Right? They didn't want Daniel to get the job. So they looked. They looked at how he did his job. They couldn't find anything wrong with how he did his job. He was a faithful person in the things that he did. He worked for the government. He lived righteously, soberly, and godly. No problem. So you know what they said? They said, "The only way we can catch this guy is we have to find something concerning the law of his God." So they came to the king and said, "King, you know, make an edict, you know, or a law. Make a law that anyone for the next 30 days that makes a petition to any other man or to any other god will suffer consequences. Will be thrown into the lion's den." That's how, you know, you heard about lions, you know, Daniel in the lion's den. That's what happened. Okay, so in Daniel 6:10, what happens is Daniel hears that the law was signed. If you make a petition to any other man or any other god besides the king, you're going to be thrown into the lion's den. In other words, you're going to die. Okay? So then Daniel, I love this. Daniel heard the decree was signed. And he's like, he didn't go like, "Oh my goodness, I'm going to die." You know? No, he just went up to his room where he had his room, so his windows open toward Jerusalem. And at a set time, he knelt down and prayed toward Jerusalem, just as he had done. Daniel had a set place where he prayed, what is his room, and he had a set time. Okay, let me ask you, do you have a set place where you pray, and do you have a set time where you pray to the Lord? Okay, how about if we don't, we ask, "Lord, give me a set time and a set place to pray to you." Amen. How about we pray? "Lord, give me a set time and a set place to pray to you." This was Daniel's experience. So when that happened, they caught him. He said, "Hey, we caught this guy. He's praying to another god." And Darius was like, he was smith, you know, he loved Daniel. But he couldn't change the law he had made. So eventually he did everything so he could, but he couldn't get him out. He couldn't get him out of the problem. So eventually, you know, before he goes into the lion's den, he says, "Daniel, may the God whom you serve, you know, preserve you or save you." Right. And then that night, the king is fasting the whole night. And then in the morning he comes. The king opens the den, you know, and he just calls kind of despondently, maybe hoping that he's alive. Daniel, did the God whom you serve keep you? And then Daniel responds, "Yes. His angel shut the lion's mouth." Right? "And nothing happened to me." And so the king was happy. Took him out. And then all those people that had plotted against Daniel. They were thrown into the lion's den. Not only them, but their family and their children. And then he says, they were not even down. They didn't even hit the floor when the lions crushed their bones. That's what would happen to Satan.
Amen.
Satan is trying to keep you from spending time with God at a set time in a set place.
Amen.
We need, as young people, you need a set time and a set place to spend time with the Lord. In Matthew, it tells us, when you pray, go into your closet. Do you have a closet? Some of you have a big closet. Physically. You know, you go into some of these homes, wow, the closet is like a room. That was especially designed for you to pray.
Amen.
That's your closet. You need to take some time, right? Find a place, whatever it is, I don't know. Maybe you go to the basement, you go to the attic, you go, maybe in your room you have a little place, and no distractions, and you set your time, you know, maybe when you come back from school, every day after you come back from school at 4:30, between 4:30 and 4:15, that's my time with my Lord.
Amen.
What about this? We schedule time for everything else, don't we? Oh, this thing is on tonight. I got to watch it. So you schedule the time and the place, right? But that's presenting your members to something else rather than God. What about setting up time and a place for God? If we don't do this, it's like, there's this saying, if you aim at nothing, you will hit it every time. Right? In other words, you need to schedule your time so that you can have a personal, intimate time with the Lord.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, this is a very practical point. Please make a note of this. And you know, I know, our whole being is anti-Christ. It's anti-God. It's anti-prayer. The last thing I want to do is pray. But remember, if you do this, you will change the Lord's schedule. Your prayer will hasten the Lord's return. Your prayer at a set time, at a set place, will change the Lord's schedule. I guarantee it. Why? Because in prayer, you absorb God. You're filled with God. And you become a vessel filled with God that God can use to pray for His interests on the earth.
Amen.
Who is doing this among us? Who is praying for God's interests on the earth at a set time, at a set place, every day? That will change the Lord's schedule. Okay, let's go on. In Acts chapter 10, verse 9, it tells us, and on the next day, this is concerning Peter. And on the next day, as they were journeying and drawing near to the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray around the sixth hour. That's about noon. Peter had this kind of practice. He went to, does he tell us, he went to the top of the house there? And went up to the housetop. That was his set place. And then he tells us, why does the Bible tell us he went to the housetop? And then he tells us, at what time? Why? What is God trying to tell us? In order for you to have a prayer life, you need to have a set time and a set place. Don't be haphazard about it. Because of our culture, we are just moved sometimes. Oh, we heard this message, or we are in trouble, so we set some time to pray. But it's not our habit to have a time and a place to pray to God every day. Is that right? So the Lord repeatedly in the scriptures tells us this. Okay, there is another example in the same chapter in verse 30. Here is a man who is seeking God. And what does he do? He says, and Cornelius said, 4 days ago to this hour, I was praying at the ninth hour in my house. At what time?
Ninth hour.
Where? Okay, when we should be able to answer. When Brother Ricky asked me, Brother Juan, when do you pray and where do you pray? I should be able to say, I pray at 3 o'clock p.m. in my house. Every day. Why not? If I ask you, when is your gym class? What do you tell me? Do you have a gym class? When is it? It's not set. Okay. Do you have a set schedule for gym? Any one of you? I just want to ask you. When is your gym class? When? When? 10 o'clock? Where? Where? In the gym. The gym class is at 10 o'clock in the morning in the gym. What day?
Every day.
Every day. Not bad. Bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness profits for all things. It's profitable for all things. If you schedule an hour for gym, why don't you schedule some time for the Lord? It's just, you know, but we have to hear this. Because it's not in our habit to do this. Okay, then point one. Together. We need to have a daily time with the Lord during which we are free from all the preoccupations of our daily affairs and are able to present ourselves before the Lord and concentrate entire being on Him. Exodus 34:2 says, "And be ready by the morning and come up in the morning to Mount Sinai and present yourself there to me on the top of the mountain." This is when the Lord, the second time that He gave the commandments after Moses broke them, He commanded him, come. Right? Where? To the top of the mountain. Come meet me. Don't bring anything. Don't bring anybody. Don't let the cows be around the mountain or anything. You just come. You just come and be with me. You know, brothers and sisters, what the Lord is telling you this morning? Just come and be with me. Just come and spend time with me. Right? That's what the Lord is asking us. Then, in Romans 8:6 says, "For the mindset on the flesh is death, but the mindset on the spirit is life and peace." Okay, so, sorry. Okay, we need to concentrate our whole being on the Lord. Let's go on to point two. Sisters, point two, please. In order... Amen. Okay. We'll get into this a little bit later. Okay. Then, the benefits. The benefits of practicing to have personal fellowship with the Lord. A. Sisters. Okay. The reason I want to kind of get through to point three is because in point three you get into the practice. Here it tells us, right, that to develop a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord, we need to spend time with the Lord. And it tells us that we need to focus our whole being on Him, to have intimate fellowship with Him. Then we have some benefits as we spend time with the Lord. Again, the way this is developed is by spending time with the Lord. Time is our most precious commodity, right? And our lives is like $100 that have been given to us, you know? And every time we spend, that is gone. This, you know, after we finish this meeting this morning, that half an hour that is left from the meeting is gone. So will you use this half an hour to listen to the Lord, or will you just keep fooling around? Right? You see, if you don't utilize that time to gain the Lord, then it will be lost. It will be wasted. So we only have so much to spend our time in. So we need to be wise how we spend our time. So it says here that when we spend time with the Lord, there are some benefits. We get benefited by spending time with the Lord. And in 1 Peter 2:25 says, "For you were like sheep being led astray, but you have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." How many of you sometimes feel, I need shepherding? I need the Lord to shepherd me. Okay, if you spend time with the Lord will appear to you as a shepherd. And He will care for you. And you will realize, He really is caring for me. He really is overseeing my soul. That's what the Lord will speak to us. And we're comforted. Many times we come to the Lord, we are distressed, situations in the our environment, maybe things in our psychology. And then we come to the Lord, we open to Him. And what happens after the time? We feel what? We feel cared for. We feel that is peace within us. The situation didn't change. But you know what happened? You got shepherded. Okay. Then, in Isaiah 30:15 says, "For thus says the Lord Jehovah, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you will be saved." In returning and rest you will be saved. Okay, many times we're just doing our own thing. We're doing carrying out our human life. We're just going. The Lord says, in returning and rest, you will be saved. Right? In quietness and trust will be your strength. But then that is the rest of the verse. But you were not willing. Are you willing to stop and to return to the Lord? Are you willing to listen to the Lord's calling this morning, to spend time with Him? If you do, you will be shepherded by Him. You will be cared for by Him. Lord, make us willing. Amen. How about we pray to the Lord? Lord, make me willing to return to You. Lord, make me willing to return to You. Amen. Okay, then in Isaiah 50:4 says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the instructed, that I should know how to sustain the weary with a word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as an instructed one." Okay, so the benefit is not only for myself personally. But what happens is, the Lord, in my time with Him, He may give a word to my friend. My brother, who is my companion, may be going through something. But because I presented myself to the Lord in my fellowship with Him, He instructed me. He gave me a word. So when I'm with my friend, I can shepherd him. I can take care of him. Has that ever happened to you? You thought, why did the Lord speak this to me? And then during the day you realize, oh, that word that He gave me this morning wasn't for me. It was for her. Or it was for him. The Lord will... You know what will happen if you spend time with the Lord? You will start experiencing being a useful member in the body of Christ. Amen. You will. The Lord wants to move on the earth. And you know what He needs? He needs living members. He needs those who come to Him in the morning and are instructed by Him. So He will use us. He will flow through us. He will fill us. And He will reach to others through us. Okay, I need to go a little bit more quickly here. Through the practice of personal fellowship with the Lord, we allow the Lord the opportunity to grant us personal enlightenment. That's just the result of spending time with the Lord. God is light. Amen. And if you're in the light, you will receive light. Amen. And then you'll see your situation and you will see other situations. Okay, let's move on. See, brothers.
Through the practice of personal fellowship with the Lord, we allow the Lord the opportunity to train our mind to follow the anointing.
Amen. Okay. Here, the verse is 1 John 2:27. "And as for you, the anointing which you have received from Him abides in you, and you have no need that anyone teach you. But as His anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and even as He has taught you, abide in Him." You know, brothers and sisters, as we come to the Lord is intent in, remember, the grace has been manifested and is training us.
Amen.
As we spend time with the Lord, the moving of the Lord within us is called the holy anointing. As the Lord moves within us, He gives us feelings. He gives us direction. And that direction needs to be interpreted by our mind. The Lord always speaks through our intuition. We have a feeling. But that feeling needs to be interpreted by our mind. What is the Lord telling me? As He's prompting me. Is he telling me to confess my sins? Is he telling me to preach the gospel? Is he telling me to apologize here? You see, the more we spend time with the Lord, the keener our mind will be to interpret the feeling in our intuition. You will know God.
Amen.
You know, the Lord said, my sheep know my voice. My prayer for years is, Lord, teach me your voice.
Amen.
I want to know your voice. When you say something, I want to know definitely it's you. Okay, so sometimes we have a sense the Lord is, we think is the Lord saying this, and we just follow, and we realize, oh, that wasn't the Lord. And then the next time, we find the feeling, we follow, and then we realize, that was the Lord. Then you start discerning, that wasn't the Lord, this was the Lord. You start knowing the Lord's voice. Don't you want to know the Lord's voice? I do. He wants you to know his voice. So how does this happen? As you spend time with him. If you spend time with him, he will train you. He will train your mind so that you will know that that was his speaking. Okay, many times the Lord will speak to you in a message like this. And you realize, oh, that was the Lord. Okay, let me give you a golden nugget for your growth in life. Whenever the Lord speaks to you, follow his speaking. If you do not, you will get stuck. That's my experience. Because the Lord wants us to grow in him. So he's constantly speaking to us. And if we learn to be those who follow the Lord speaking, we will grow in the divine life. If we don't, then it's like wax got into my ears and I can't hear. You know, sometimes people get ear infections and they can't hear. Don't let your spiritual ears get an infection. When the Lord says something, follow through. In your time with the Lord shines on five sins. Confess those five sins. You will be a happy Christian. You will be full of life. You will be a factor of life in the church. And you will help bring the Lord back sooner.
Amen.
Remember, we're here trying to change the Lord's schedule. We're saying, Lord, you know we should say, Lord, says we should say, Lord, whatever it takes, do in my life so that you can come sooner.
Amen.
How about this?
Right.
Let's be radical.
Amen.
Do you know what radical is? That means that it's from the root of my hope, my being. I just say, Lord, you do in me whatever it takes so that you can come sooner. Make me a factor in your coming. How about pray? Lord, I want to see your coming.
Amen.
So then the Lord says, spend time with me. Set a place. Set a time. Listen to what I say. Then I will come quickly. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. At every time and in every place. Okay, so here is, this is goes under, am I in three, right? Two B? At every time, okay, we need to develop such a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord at a set time and here at every place. Okay, in 1 Thessalonians 5, it tells us, unceasingly pray. Right? And then in Ephesians 6:18, it tells us, at every time in spirit. Right? We need to make petition concerning all the saints at every time in spirit. Right? And then in 1 Corinthians 1:2, it tells us that the Lord is theirs and ours, and the Lord is in every place.
Right?
Okay, remember, the pump is with you. So don't leave the pump at home. Pray in your school. Pray between breaks. Pray when you go to the bathroom. Pray when you're walking to your class. Pray unceasingly.
Amen.
In every place.
Amen.
If you cannot pray in that place, maybe you shouldn't be in that place.
That's right.
That's a good test. Can I pray here? If you can pray here, then you should be here. But if you cannot pray in that place, then you shouldn't be there. Don't say, oh, then I don't need to go to work because I can't pray there. No! I prayed at work. You know, I had these big meetings with these big wigs all the time. Every time I had these big meetings, Lord, be with me. Lord, give me the wisdom how to solve this problem. Lord, I don't know how to be this, how to be that. And every time, I tell you, every time the Lord was with me. You need to experience the Lord in this way. Don't trust so much in your good mind, in your good training, in your good education. You need to have God with you.
Amen.
Where? In your calculus class, in your physics class, in your chemistry class. In whatever class you are, you need to, you know, you're going to take a test. You know, some of us just pray the test day, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, please help me do well in this test. But the rest of the semester, Jesus? Who? What? Right? But we remember, oh, if I don't do well in this test, then I won't graduate. So then that day you pray, Lord. Well, the Lord is merciful. But he wants you to pray at every time.
Amen.
Not just the day of the test. Right? Okay. Okay, so 3. The practice of personal fellowship with the Lord. A. Brothers.
Holy.
Amen. Sis. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, yeah. Okay, let's read it again together. I'm sorry. Calling. Calling on the name of the Lord. Help us to set our mind on the Spirit. Have until 11. Okay. Calling. Hallelujah for calling.
Amen.
Calling is a wonderful practice in the New Testament.
Amen.
And in the Old Testament. The scripture tells us repeatedly, I love this, that we need to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay. This past, a couple of weeks ago, I was in Philadelphia. And Brother Bob Little was sharing. And he asked a question. He says, have you ever gone somewhere by yourself? You know, like go to a park or go to your car, go to your room, and you just call on the name of the Lord for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Have you ever done that? Okay, you need to do that. Write this down. I need to set a time where I just will go away and I will call on the name of the Lord. And you set your alarm, 7 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and you start, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. And go to a place where there's nobody so you can get loud. Says, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. You need to do this. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. I did this. I went, you know, I had done it before. And I remember, I took Brother Bob's word. Then the next, you know, a couple days later, I was at my house. And I just sat at my table. And I just put my watch there. And I started to call. Call. You know, sometimes, brothers, we hear about calling on the name of the Lord. And we think, oh, I just called once, but it doesn't work. Right? You just call, oh. You know, the brothers told us, just call on the Lord. And he will, you know, the Lord will... Okay, you need to call from deep within.
Amen.
You need to learn to engage your whole being to call on the Lord. Not just say, Lord Jesus. Sometimes our Lord Jesus is like almost like the worldlings. When they misuse the Lord's name. So anyway, I got there and I started to call. Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. I got raptured. I did not come to the Lord with a list of things to pray for. I did not come to the Lord with my problems. I just wanted to call on Him.
Amen.
And the Bible in Isaiah chapter 12, it tells us that we shall draw waters out of the wells of salvation.
Amen.
And in that name we shall say, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Call upon His name. Amen. Calling upon the name of the Lord is like pumping a well.
Amen.
Remember when the Lord Jesus met with the Samaritan woman said to Him, You have water, but, you know, the deep is well and you have no bucket. In other words, how are you going to go down there and get that water? You don't even have a bucket. To to call on the name of the Lord to draw waters, we need to have a big bucket. And you know what the bucket is? It's to call. You just call. You just call. Amen. You just call. I hope next time that I ask you when I come, have you had this kind of time with the Lord? All the hands will go up. Amen. You need to take time to call on the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Call from deep within. Be lost in Him. And then, you know what? Then after you have this kind of experience, you need to get up in the prophesying meeting of the church and you testify about your experience. Yeah. I called and He answered me and I got filled with Him.
Amen.
We need to hear this. Brothers and sisters, calling is not a mantra. Calling is not our practice, quote, quote. Calling is God's way for us to be filled with God.
Amen.
Praying unceasingly is to call on the name all the day long. Okay, I need to go on. Okay, then calling. Then B, prayer, right? B, prayer together. Prayer, opening our heart to the Lord, telling Him that we want from Him. Okay, so prayer. Do you want to be saved?
Yes.
Tell the Lord, Lord, I want to be saved.
Amen.
You know, in Matthew, there were two blind men. And they were blind and they were desperate for the Lord to open their eyes. So they heard He was coming and they were just crying out, Jesus, Son of David, Jesus, Son of David, heal us. And the crowd just rebuked them. Said, get away from Him. And then the more the crowd rebuked them, then the louder they call on the Lord. When you start calling on the Lord, then Satan will come and say, you're weird. What are you doing? That's the crowd rebuking you. That's the loud. You need to call louder. And then the Lord said, the Lord came to them and said, what do you want me to do for you? Lord, that I may see. Lord, that you may open our eyes. You know, the blind man didn't say, Jesus, Son of David, you're the Son of God. You became incarnated as a man. You're so wonderful. We praise you. What do you want? Tell me what you want. Prayer. Tell the Lord what you want.
Amen.
Don't be so religious. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord, Lord, hallelujah, we praise you. You're the Son of God. You became incarnated. You were crucified, resurrected, and ascended. You became the life-giving Spirit. Amen. Amen. Yes.
Amen.
But sometimes in prayer, you just need to tell the Lord, 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 I want this. I need this. Lord, save me. Lord, you know where I am. Tell Him what you want. That's prayer. Okay. E.
C.
No, sorry, C. What's C?
Pray reading.
Oh, pray reading. Yeah, here it is. Okay, together.
Using our spirit to contact the Spirit in the Word.
By mingling our reader
prayer.
And personalizing the Word of God in our prayer. The goal of our prayer reading is not to study or to understand the Word, but rather to receive the nourishment from God's Word. Have you ever found the Word of God and eat it? And ate it? That's what Jeremiah did. He found the Word of God and he ate it. And the Word of God became in him the joy and rejoicing of his heart. Became something that was a source of joy in him. We need to eat the Word by pray reading the Word.
Amen.
How do we pray read? We come. We calm our mind. We call on the Lord to help us calm our mind and set our mind on the Spirit. Then we open the Word and maybe take one verse, maybe half of a verse, and we start praying that verse to the Lord. Lord, thank you that you came, that I may have life. Lord, I love you. Because you came to give me life. Lord, open me to receive your life. Lord, give life to my friends. You take the word in the Bible, John 10:10b, I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. And you turn it to prayer to the Lord. Don't you think the Lord will answer your prayer? It's His word. He said, I came that you may have life. And then you're there. Lord, give me life. And the Lord said, no. No. He said, okay, here I am. I give you life. But as you're praying in this way, we saw earlier, we may receive enlightenment. Every time you come to the Word with an open heart, the Lord will give you light concerning your person, concerning your wrongdoings, your failures, your sins. And in that light, you need to confess right away. Lord, I agree with the light. I lied to my brother. I took that thing from the school. Lord, I went through the light. I'm sorry, Lord. Right away, you get released. And then you can continue to pray. Then your prayers can be heard by the Lord. In Isaiah 59, it tells us that the Lord's ear is not, you know, the Lord's, yeah, it says that the Lord's ear is, no, it says that the Lord's arm is not too short that he cannot save. And, you know, he's not, he can hear you. What has prevented you from the Lord hearing your words is the sins that you have committed. So what do we need to do so that the Lord can hear us? We need to confess our sins in the light. As we are in the Word, the Lord will give us light. Okay. Point two. The key in our pray reading is to exercise our spirit and to follow the anointing as we pray read. Okay. Point three. The more
we are nourished with the words of the faith in the Scriptures and the words of the good teaching,
the more enriched our pray reading be. Amen. Okay, if you lay these things, this is 1 Timothy 4:6. If you lay these things before the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, being nourished with the words of the faith and of the good teaching which you have closely followed. Then 2 Timothy 3:14. But you continue in the things which you have learned and have been assured of, knowing from which ones you have learned them, and that from a babe you have known the sacred writings. So here the point is that the more you will have the Word of God dwelling in you richly, your prayer reading time, your time with the Lord will be much richer. It's just a fact. God speaks Bible. What's God's language? Bible. You want to hear God's Word? Bible. And don't be deceived. The Spirit will never tell you anything that is contrary to the Word of God. I heard the other day a sister was saying something so off, you know. Actually, she said, the Lord told me to leave my husband. Okay, I told you, that's not the Lord. The Lord will never say that.
Right.
The Lord in the Bible, in Malachi, says, I hate divorce. Would the Lord go against His Word and say, divorce him?
No.
No. So, conclusion, that was not the Lord.
Right.
That's how we get to know the Lord's Word. So we need both. Spending time with Him and listening to His voice. And then getting to know the rich Word of God. That will preserve us from many mistakes. Okay. Then confession. I touched this. Then what happens is we consecrate ourselves to the Lord. This is point F. Consecration together. Presenting ourselves to the Lord afresh. Giving Him the full ground in us. Okay. So, I just pray that through all these words that you've heard, there would be a desire within you. Lord, I'd like to give myself to You. Lord, I'd like to have a time with You. And I'd have to have a set time with You. How about we pray that to the Lord? Lord, let's see how we pray.
Amen.
This is very serious. I want you to because I know there is a feeling within you that the Lord would do in you what we've been talking about. So what do? Just tell Him what you want. Can you just pray there for 10 seconds? Tell the Lord what you want. Okay. Okay. Let's read point four together. Are developing a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord, issues in our loving the Lord, and in our living a holy manner of life. A life that is fully according to and for God's economy, and not a vain manner of life. Okay, brothers, A.
Through the practice of personal fellowship with the Lord, we can develop a direct first-hand relationship with the Lord.
Sisters, B. together see. Our practice of personal fellowship with the Lord will result in our strengthening our sense of life, the anointing, and our abiding in the Lord in our daily life, in the daily living. D together again. If we walk by the Spirit in our daily life, we will be soberly and righteously and godly in the present age. We will be rescued from the present evil age, and we will live a holy manner of life, a life that is redeemed from our vain manner of life. Okay, Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you shall by no means fulfill the lust of the flesh." Verse 25 says, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." Okay, brothers and sisters, we got regenerated by the Spirit of God. We live by Him. In other words, because we're believers, we have a walk with the Lord that is just our general walk. The exhortation there is that not only would we just have a general walk with the Lord, but listen, that we would have a walk that will hasten the Lord's return. That walk is a walk in military step. It's a walk in rank. It's a disciplined walk. That walk is a walk of your life soberly, righteously, and godly. Amen. You want to be sober, righteous, and godly? You need to have a military walk with the Lord. That means regimented. That means you need to schedule time with Him. You need to have a personal time with Him every day at a certain time in a certain place. Yes, between you and your God. Okay? So that's why we have this here. We want to help you to make a schedule. Okay? And I made, maybe just for each section, you can take one of these and look at it. You just pass it around after you look at it. Maybe you take two here. Maybe one here. You can pass it around so they can see. Then maybe one here. And then one here. Just look at it and pass it around, okay? Okay. The reason this is so important, brothers and sisters, is that if we don't take time to make a schedule to have a time with the Lord, we will never have a time with the Lord. So please, take advantage of this page. You know, some of you are very good at computers. You can duplicate this on an Excel sheet, or we can send it to you if you want it. And then you just can have it in your computer. The first thing that you should have in your first line every day is morning revival.
Amen.
Morning revival.
Amen.
That's a big MR. Morning revival. Every day I need to be revived in the morning. And you know what time you get up. And we're asking you to spend at least 15 minutes with the Lord. But some of you don't have, you know, you don't have, maybe may not have that capacity. Start with 10 minutes. And if you can't start with 10 minutes, start with 5 minutes. But start. Put it in your schedule. Before I leave my house, I will have a time with the Lord. Where? In your closet. You know. Don't have a time with the Lord while you're eating your donut on the way to the bus. You're going to get burned. You know, maybe you're drinking hot coffee or something. Do you understand what I mean? Set a time and a place with the Lord that nobody bothers you. Even you should tell your mom, "Mom, I'm having my time with the Lord. I'm sorry." She should know. Wow, your mom will be like, "What?" I will be like, "Praise the Lord." Okay, then you can schedule your classes. You see, the yellow here are your classes. A lot of you, you know, you're students, right? So maybe from 7 on to about 12 you have class. Then all of you have a lunch break, right? Do you have a lunch break?
Yes.
Okay, you schedule it. Just put it there. And then how about taking 5 minutes of your lunch break to pray? You just remember, oh, I just ate. Oh, I need to pray. And if you are in school with some of your companions, how about taking 5 minutes of your lunch to pray together? You know, in high school, you have the different tables, right? In the cafeteria. This should be the table of those who pray at lunch. Amen. Why not? You know, at Central, it's called, you know, at Central where I serve, one of the cafeterias is called the Devil's Den. people get saved in the devil's den.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. Classes, you have lunch. Then you have commute time. Then you also have here, Bible and ministry reading. What about reading your Bible? What about, okay, how many weeks before we are at the Summer School of Truth? Many weeks, yeah. About 14? About 16 weeks. That's almost a semester, right? What about reading the New Testament with the notes? What about reading one book with the footnotes? You set your schedule, but set a goal, you know? If you don't set a goal, you will hit it every time. Remember? Set a goal. Maybe read the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be on the Triune God, right?
Right.
The Triune God. Actually, the Triune God is throughout the whole Bible, so you can read any book. Right? That's the structure of the Holy Scriptures, is the Triune God. So you can read, you can set this goal. For example, you can say, between now and the Summer School of Truth, I'm going to read the books of Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians. Those are all short books, but you can all read them, and you can read them with the notes. And that will become your time of Bible, and then the notes is the ministry. You see, you can kill one bird with two stones. No. Two stones with one. No. What is it? You can kill one bird. No. Two bears with one stone. Okay. Okay. Saturday. Very important. Saturday. Saturday. We gave you more time to sleep on Saturday. But you get up, and what do you do on Saturday first thing?
Morning
revival.
Amen.
Personal. Intimate. In a place that you set with your Lord to have a time with Him. Saturday morning. Then, I put here, after you have that time with the Lord, then you have the fake food.
Breakfast.
You know? The food, the real food is you have time with the Lord.
Amen.
Then you have the shadow. Right? What do you like? Like boiled eggs and whatever you like. You can have. Okay. Then, we have a time here. We have commute. That means go to the meeting hall. Amen.
Amen.
And have morning revival with the saints corporately.
Amen.
And then present yourselves to vacuum the carpet, to arrange the chairs, to clean the bathrooms in spirit.
Amen.
Why not? Right?
Amen.
That means practical service. That's part of your holy living that will bring the Lord back. Okay, then you have a little time on Saturday for Bible and prayer reading. You have homework. And then you have young people's meeting. Schedule your young people's meeting and schedule a home meeting during the week. All of you should be in a home meeting. At least one home meeting every week besides your young people's meeting. That should be in your schedule. Okay? Then you have morning revival on Monday. You check off Monday. Okay? You have a personal prayer time. You check off Monday. Then you read the Bible in the ministry. You check off. Companion time. Hallelujah. Okay. Up here you have name and then you have companion's name. Okay, you can write him down there. Okay. Then you can have a time. So then in your schedule a companion time. I schedule it here on Wednesday like at 9. You know, sometimes we can call each other before I go to bed. Let's pray for one another. You know, let's pray. Let's read the one chapter that we are in Ephesians together. Right? Why not? We schedule everything else. Soccer, volleyball, all kinds of things have a schedule. But where is God in your schedule? You have to put God in the schedule. Okay, then, Lord's Table meeting. That's on the Lord's Day morning. What do you do first thing on the Lord's Day morning? Morning revival. In a set place at a set time. Okay? Then you come to the meeting hall. We have the Lord's table with all the saints. We prophesy. We testify how the Lord has filled us, how our friends got saved. Boy, the church will be revolutionized.
Amen.
By your living. If you take this way, brothers and sisters, the church in your locality will not be the same.
Amen.
Okay. Then, prophesying meeting, you check that off. Prayer meeting. Prayer meeting. What about prayer meeting? You know, one of the brothers in our locality calls the prayer meeting the fights. We're going to the fights. Wednesday night, we're going to the fights. Right, Sean? We're fighting against Satan. We're causing damage to Satan's kingdom. But if you're not there and you're doing something else, then actually you're a casualty of Satan. Okay, schedule it. Home meeting. Okay, one little thing you have here is a bucket for finances. Remember, your money is not yours. It's the Lord's. You start giving to the Lord, you will be revived. I'm serious. This is a transaction between you and the Lord. Anyway, we just wanted to give you this so that you have a practical handle to put into practice all that we have shared. If you don't do this, if you don't take the time to schedule your life and schedule the Lord in, all this will be just, it was a good message, it was a good conference. Oh, wasn't that good what that brother shared? Wasn't that good what that sister shared? But nothing happened in your life. Something needs to happen in your life. Please take this. Take it to the Lord. Schedule the Lord in your life. Don't let it go just by... It doesn't happen by osmosis, right? I have to find out what osmosis is. In other words, if you don't do it, it won't happen, brothers and sisters. So, okay, then you have practical service, you have gospel. Okay, when you're with your companions, undoubtedly you will have burdens for your friends. And you will realize, we need to pray for my friends. Right? So you will pray with them. So you can check that off. So you have the days. The days are the days of the week from Lord's Day. Here, from Monday through Lord's Day. You just put that. And then you just make a copy of this. And make 52 of them for every week. You know, the year has 52 weeks. Make 52 copies. So that you have one of these for every week. Brothers and sisters, if you do this, at the end of 1 year, you will be a different person. Amen. You will be a person that is filled with God. Amen. You will be a factor for the Lord's coming back. Amen. Anyway, I need to stop. Lord Jesus.